Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What are our local officials doing to help prepare for the possible arrival of Ebola? Let's go in-depth with Teresa Higginbotham with Marion County Public Health and Kelly Jones and Barb Anderson with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. So we're hearing a lot, reading a lot about Ebola. It's in the news. It's a concern for people. And I presume that Marion County Public Health and our local health officials, our local hospitals have been preparing information and response. And what have you all been working on?
Well, I think the first thing we need to talk about is that Ebola is a scary topic, but you have to remember that you have to have been around a person that has been to where Ebola is, such as an African country, and you have to come in contact with their bodily fluids to get the disease or the virus. And if a person is not symptomatic, even though they've been to Africa and exposed, then they cannot pass the virus. They have to be symptomatic to pass the virus. There's a very low risk here in the U.S. and Iowa and Marion County due to the new screening protocols that they put in place through the Iowa Department of Public Health and through the CDC. And that has even lessened the risk even more. So the people have to come through that are coming from those countries affected. They have to come through 5 airports that are trained in screening the people for the virus.
Although the chances are low, you just can't use that as an excuse not to prepare, can you? And you're preparing for this at the hospital?
That's correct. There's been a lot of activities going on in Iowa, and we've worked very closely with the Department of Health in Iowa. We work with the local Department of Health people, and part of the preparedness is just making sure that we're all on the same page, that we're all understanding something. And it's easy to say that, oh, we just need to do this and we just need to do that, but if you have a protocol and a plan and everybody does it exactly the same way, then you're much more successful. So we've been having weekly webinars with the Department of Health. They give us updates every week to tell us exactly where we're at. There's been a lot of sharing of information from the CDC, tools that we use and algorithms for preparation, making sure that we have policy and procedure, that we have a format, and then we know exactly what we're going to do when we need to do some practicing or we need to do some looking at the gear. And we use this personal protective equipment. They call it PPE for short. We use this every day now. We use gowns and we use gloves and we use masks every day. And that's not new. So it's easier to train people who know what they're doing and have used this gear before. The protocols have sequences that you put the gear on and you take the gear off. And so part of the work with the guidelines is having everybody have a format of how to do it.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about Ebola preparation with Teresa Higginbotham with Marion County Public Health and Kelly Jones and Barb Anderson with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. Tell me the different kinds of scenarios where you might think that you have a patient with Ebola or somebody with Ebola. Let's say I walk in and I say, I've been to West Africa and I feel like I've got the flu. Is that... And no, what would you do?
I think, see, that the chance of that actually happening to me is very, very low because all of the people who come from these African nations are being monitored as they come into the United States. And there are 5 major airports that they route all these people to. So their temperatures are checked when they leave Africa and they're checked when they arrive in the United States. And so the chance of someone coming to me without having gone through that process is practically zero. almost impossible to happen.
And the state is notified of any people that would come to Iowa. The State Department of Public Health, they are notified. And then if someone would be a Marion County resident, we would be notified too.
So what are you preparing for then?
We've been preparing as individual entities and as part of the Marion County Emergency Response Coalition, which includes the Marion County Emergency Management Agency, Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Pella Regional Health Center, and Marion County Public Health Department. So we've been meeting as county partners and responders to get on the same page and share information, and we'll be continuing to do this in the near future.
So just in case things get worse, is that what you're thinking?
Nope, just so that we're all aware of all the changes that the CDC is bringing forth in the webinars, and so we can pass on to all the different entities so that everybody is practicing the same way.
Okay, and so are you doing any, like, exercises to prepare for any of this?
Yes, we have an exercise plan currently, and we've been doing, like she said, the meetings with the first responders and just a lot of different preparedness activities. We're still doing the planning just to be safe for everybody.
Well, you have to, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you have to hope nothing happens, but be prepared for the worst. Okay, and so any other preparations that are being made at the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics?
Well, we know that we're working closely with the Department of Health because any of the persons who do come through the airports that come into the state of Iowa, they're going to be monitored by the local Department of Health staff. And so the Department of Health is going to know if they have any signs or symptoms of illness before anybody else does. And they have a protocol in place to have some dedicated emergency medical services available. And they can assess those persons right at their home and then transport them to the hospitals in the state that would be able to do screening and treatment of those patients. So that would include mostly the level one trauma centers in the state would be involved in those kinds of activities with dedicated emergency medical services that the Department of Health is working with now to use routinely.
So how do you all communicate? You have the webinars, but how do you communicate within your organizations and with each other? I mean, do you just have regular meetings? Do you do phone calls? What do? How do you interact?
We have meetings through the Marion County Emergency Response Coalition, and we've had some meetings outside of that with the first responders, and we're in constant email, phone contact, things like that when we need to contact each other.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about Ebola preparation with Teresa Higginbotham with Marion County Public Health and Kelly Jones and Barb Anderson with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. As a member of the public and not versed in any of this, I guess I see scenarios that you're telling me aren't going to happen. See, I see myself as walking in, let's say I'm in Knoxville and I walk in to the emergency room and I see you, Kelly. And I say, I'm sick, and I think I've got Ebola. I mean, but you're saying that's not going to happen, but that's what the public thinks is going to happen, right?
Well, that is never going to happen with the CDC guidelines and the people coming from that country and being monitored through the airports.
It's not.
And we have, no.
Well, that's good to hear.
Well, there are people that could think that they have Ebola, but you have to be around someone that has been to an Ebola-affected country, and you have to touch their bodily fluids. So the chance of you actually having Ebola is very, very low.
Okay.
But having the contingency plan, we have worked with the registration staff and the emergency room registration staff. We do have protocols in place that are asking people if they have traveled to West African nations and what their symptoms are at the time that they either call in to make an appointment or the time that they present directly to the desk. So we have protocols now that if they would answer, yes, I've been to these West African nations, and yes, I have a headache and I have a fever, We have protocols for addressing that person on that spot to take them to a dedicated room, notify a supervisor, and then we would initiate our response of using personal protective equipment and notifying the Iowa Department of Health. And they would help us handle that patient and route them to a facility where they would be cared for.
And so when I'm seeing the media reports of this, and I think about the people that go over and that are in Africa treating people and thinking how brave they are, how courageous they are, and then they come, and some of them get the disease, and some of them come back, and they're treated here, and more of them are doing well, and very few of them have passed away. But you as healthcare professionals have to be particularly, you have to identify with those other healthcare professionals, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know that there are people that do humanitarian trips and people that do mission trips, and we have healthcare workers from Marion County who have been in Africa and have helped out in different places. I know that the CDC offers training for staff that would be going to Africa to give them special education about treating people with Ebola and viral illnesses. And so those things are being offered to people now before they go so that they have a better understanding of what they can do in the field when they're there.
So it seems to me, and maybe this is why we're talking, is it seems to me that the public, we haven't been learning very quickly on this issue, have we? Like, the media hasn't handled this very well, have they? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a sensational topic. It's a scare factor. So I think that if people put it in perspective, there are more prevalent issues in Iowa as, like, the flu this year. The flu, on average, kills somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 people each year, whether it's from the actual flu or the complications resulting from it. And there are things that you can do to protect yourself from that, like get your flu shot, cover your cough. They have the Do It In Your Sleep campaign where you cough in the curve of your elbow, and that keeps your germs getting on your, keeps it from getting on your hands, and then, like, when you touch your face. So cough in your elbow if you can, wash your hands, practice your social distancing if you're around somebody that's ill, 3 feet usually, stay home if you're sick. Just some of those basic things. We don't want people to be losing sleep over this right now. We want you to enjoy your holidays. Practice safe hand washing habits with the food and stuff so you're not spreading any of the other more likely things. And if we have any information that we find credible, we will definitely get that out to the public as soon as we know it. So,
I think it's a surprise to people to find out that there really still are things in the world that we don't have vaccines for right now, and that we don't have antibiotics or antivirals that work for it immediately. We're all very accustomed to really, really great health care here. And there are still wild things in the world that are outside these parameters. They have a couple of vaccines in production now. They're doing human trials on for this. And there are a couple of antiviral medications they've been attempting to use also. But neither one of those are in place right now. And so it's a shock, and it gets people's interest when they find out that there are things other than what our great health care can take care of.
So, Kelly, I can quit worrying about getting Ebola?
I think you can quit worrying. Yeah, I think you're more likely to get the flu than you are Ebola.
Or struck by lightning or any of those things.
Or win the lottery.
But in the off chance that Ebola would come to Iowa, we are preparing. So I think people can rest easy.
Okay, anything else that the public needs to know, stuff I didn't think about?
I think it's important to know that we have plans and we have protocols, that we're prepared.
Well, and I think it's important to know, too, that we are working with Pella Hospital, so, I mean, as the coalition, so, and they are preparing and updating their plans, too. So it's a cohesive effort.
And we've had also meetings and communications back and forth with Mercy in Des Moines as our affiliate. And so we work closely with them also in their preparation plans, and we share documents and tools to make sure that we're all doing exactly the same thing. So it's a matter of, if it were to happen, nobody's going to run screaming in the other direction. We know what to do, and we know how to do it.
I think every hospital in the state sees these webinars, so they're all preparing and are able to take on.
And there have been webinars with law enforcement and dispatch and some of the other EMS, some of the other entities too, through the state. So everybody's getting on the same page.
Well, and it seems like, let's just say that nothing ever happens with this, there will still be some good things happening amongst all of you all and all of our law enforcement and healthcare providers and stuff, is that you're working together now and learning, and maybe it'll help you in the future.
Yep, able to communicate better with each other and work better together, for sure. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Thanks to Teresa Higginbotham, Kelly Jones, and Barb Anderson for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.